It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian, to know you're a child of God. A Christian knows his sins are forgiven. He knows he's right with God. He's justified. He has a right standing with God. And we realize this depends not on what we do, but on what Christ has done. And the Christian is simply someone who, in all of his needs, is clinging to Christ and is saying, Father, I know that I've sinned against you. I've sinned against God, but I'm claiming the Lord Jesus as my Savior. He died for me. He shed his blood for me. He paid for my sin. And I know that I'm saved because I am trusting him. And so a Christian knows, he's absolutely sure that he's right with God. He's going to heaven. He's not on probation. He's not filled with uncertainty. He can say, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. It's a wonderful thing to be saved, to be a Christian. And I hope you that are listening to me can say, well, I do know the Lord is my Savior. I've trusted him. I'm sure. I've accepted him. And I believe what God's word says. And he's promised, whosoever believes hath everlasting life. But now, as a Christian, we need to go on, don't we? In Romans 6, in our last lesson, we were talking about the attitude we should have towards sin. Although we know that our sins are forgiven, we're certain that we're children of God, still we dare not take a light attitude towards sin. And so in view of this, he points out in Romans 6 what our attitude should be. We should realize and remember that when we accepted the Lord Jesus, we were linking ourselves with him. We were being identified with him so that his death becomes our death. So that as he hung there on the cross as our substitute, God is reckoning us to have died with him. And in view of that, that he died for sin and died to sin, as a Christian, I need to remember this. I need to know this. He says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him in Romans 6. And then in view of this, I'm also daily then, as I'm faced with sin, I'm to reckon, I'm to think, dead. I'm to remind myself, I died with the Lord Jesus. Here's this sin that's so appealing. But, oh God, I died to sin in the person of the Lord Jesus, and I'm not going to give in to that thing. It was that sin that made my Savior suffer on the cross. It was that sin that made him cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I won't do this sin, and to turn away from it. And then also in Romans 6, he says, present yourselves unto God as alive from the dead. The positive side is a Christian. To come to God and to say, oh, Father, you've done so much for me, you've loved me, you've given your son for me. Here, I want to give myself, my body, everything that I am to you, to be used by you, to be your servant, to be your messenger, just to do your will. This is what I want, oh God. Have you done that? I hope you have. I hope there's been that time in your life when you meant real business with God and you came to the place where just in simple faith and obedience to him, you, before him, gave yourself wholly to the Lord. Now, the Christian life is a life. And it has its ups and it has its downs. It has its testings. It has its times of joy. It has its times of sorrow. And the Christian discovers as he goes on that he still has conflicts. He has problems. We want to be realistic here. Christians do have problems. They have intense conflict. They discover that they still have within them this old nature, this flesh, as the scripture speaks of it. There's this nature within that's no different from before. It's evil. It loves sin. It loves to break God's law. It delights in that which is wicked and rotten. There is this nature within the Christian. And so he finds he has this struggle going on in him, and we find this in Romans 7. And let me just read one verse, Romans 7, verse 18. I know that in me, and this is Paul speaking, one of the most devout, consecrated Christians we would say have ever lived. He says, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to do that which is good is not. And Paul is saying, in this old nature, this nature that I was born with, this life that I was born with, there is nothing good. There is nothing there that wants to please God. There's only that which delights to do that which is forbidden, that which is contrary to the law of God, that which is wicked and will destroy myself. This is what my old nature delights to do. And so the Christian has this struggle. There will be times when this old nature will assert itself very strongly, and he'll feel so drawn to sin, and yet he'll realize, I shouldn't do this. He realized, I can't do this thing, and yet there's this drawing towards sin. And at times it will cause even the Christian to cry out, as in Romans 7 and verse 24, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death? Oh, the conflict with sin, and how attractive, how seductive sin can be, how appealing, how blinding. Now, in Romans 8, and this is the chapter we want to notice in particular, Paul speaks of the ways that we can live for God. What is the power for Christian living? Paul could say, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. In my nature, my sinful human nature, Paul says there's just nothing good. There's nothing there that wants to please God. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so here, naturally speaking, there is nothing that we have that will attempt to please God, that desires to please God. But the Christian is one with a new life. He's received a new nature. He's been born again. The Lord Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the Christian is one who has been born again. He's received a new life. Yet here's the struggle with the old nature. Now, he does, though, have a power to enable him to overcome and to live for God. It's not simply that here he is with the old nature and with the new nature, and it's just a struggle back and forth, and you flip a coin, and half the time you win, half the time you lose. There is another force to enable the Christian to overcome that old nature so that he need not live a life broken and defeated by sin half the time or any of the time if he would only allow this power to strengthen him daily. What is this power? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. What did the Lord Jesus say in Acts 1:8? He was talking to his disciples before he went back to heaven, and he said, you'll receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You'll receive power. Oh, we need power to live for God and to witness for God. And here the Lord Jesus says, this power is the Holy Spirit. Now, we believe the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and that he comes, and when a person receives the Lord Jesus Christ, he opens up his life, his heart to God, and the Holy Spirit comes to indwell him. His body then becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians. You as a Christian, your body is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Isn't that wonderful and amazing to think about? And so we want to emphasize this. Every believer who has received Christ does have the Holy Spirit. Don't go asking God to send the Holy Spirit to you that you don't have him and you desperately want him. If you've received the Lord Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 verse 9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. None of his. And Galatians 4 6 says, because ye are the sons of God, God has sent forth his Spirit, crying, Abba, Father. We have the Holy Spirit, we that have received the Lord Jesus. And here is God himself indwelling the believer with all the power and resources of, of deity, of God himself, wanting to aid the believer, to enable the believer to live a life that will please God. The Lord Jesus expressed it a little differently, but it's the same thought. In John 15, he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And he says this, he that abides in me and I in him, the same bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm the vine, you're the branches. And he's saying here that even as in a grapevine, you have the vine, the main trunk, with it going down with the roots into the soil. It comes up, and then from this trunk, from the vine, there spring out all these different branches. And these branches are what are bearing the fruit. But they receive their life, their nourishment from the vine itself. Without the trunk, without the vine, without the root system, there would be no fruit. The Lord Jesus says to us as Christians, you're like branches, I'm the vine, you're dependent on me, but if you remain in contact with me, in fellowship with me, then my life, my energy will flow through you. And this, of course, is through the Holy Spirit, so that the very life of God is being seen in this world through those who are living in the power and energy of the Holy Spirit. Christ has gone back to heaven, but he says, I want my life to be seen here today in the way you live, in what you do. And he says, I'll do that for you through the working of the Holy Spirit. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Now this is done by first of all rejecting sin. In Romans 8:13 it says, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. You live a happy, useful life for God if you put these deeds to death. That this is repentance, isn't it? This is a rejection of sin. As sin comes before you and you realize this is wrong, you confess it to God, you put it away, you say, oh God, I died with the Lord Jesus. I'm going to think myself dead with regard to this. I'm not going to give in to it. And so I put to death the deeds of the body. And then on the positive side, I'm to be led by the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, led by him, empowered by him, strengthened by him. Oh, Christian, read and pray. Confess your sins daily. Be in fellowship with God and with his Son, Jesus Christ, every day. And you'll find God enabling you to do that which you cannot do in yourself. And to live a life that will be a blessing to others around you. That will be a help to those who are not Christians. You'll be able to help them come to know the Savior that you know and love. God wants to use you. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches, and I want the very life of God to be seen in your life. My Holy Spirit who indwells you will pour forth his divine energy and life through you if you just let him. May we do that.